Reality Rant.
And the pirate walks the plank. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Rupert Bonham, the first player to leave Survivor Blood versus Water forever. Or is it? We will find out. Regardless, this is the Reality Rant Podcast. I'm Eric Pierce of GameStream.net. That is Bill Hammond. And Bill, I'm sure you're looking forward to next week's show.
Yeah, a little bit, but right off the bat, come on, we know this is not the end of Rupert. Even Prof said, for this season, the journey's over. Like, they know they're bringing him back at first opportunity because so he's Rupert, for God's sake.
We're going to have, like, a 50th anniversary tournament, and there's going to be Rupert coming back, and he'll be, like, the Rudy of Survivor at that point.
I think it's actually written into the contract that we can't go more than 5 seasons without him.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And but this is not saying anything bad about Rupert. I've never disliked Rupert as a character or a player in this game. It's just saying at some point a person becomes tired.
I mean, it goes back to a couple years ago when RNO was still active. We did this massive series of articles with Christian Williams, our good friend, basically polling and ranking what we thought were the 10 greatest survivors of all time. Rupert didn't make the list because we made the distinction very early on that this was about gameplay. And while Rupert is probably one of the bottom five players to have lasted this long, he's easily one of the top five characters. If we were to redo that poll for the greatest survivor personalities of all time, you'd be hard pressed to find someone more popular than Rupert Bonham.
Yep.
And that's why he's coming back. We all know he's never going to win. He will never win this game unless literally they just, you know, do a season where they knock out 15 people in episode one and he has immunity.
And frankly, though, that is a fundamental problem I have. You should never cast someone on a show who has no chance in hell of winning. We won't talk about Gina Marie and Andy, but let's keep talking about Survivor because that's what we're here for. And not to mention, folks, you remember how to keep in touch with the podcast. You can tweet us in the face on Twitter. That's @RealityRant on Twitter. Email us at realityrantpodcast@gmail.com or just like us on Facebook. That's probably the easiest. Just go to Facebook, type in Reality Rant, and click that little thumbs up button. You know, when you pull that thumb out of your ass, you can actually click the thumbs up button on Facebook and like us. That's how this game works. But as far as how Survivor works, we're back to Redemption Island.
Mm-hmm.
We have three players there. We have I wouldn't necessarily say pissed off Marissa, but at least one that I think legitimately was wronged by Jervis, just she shouldn't be shocked. And you've got Candace and you've got Rupert. We already revealed that Rupert lost the duel and left, but we added a wrinkle of strategy. The person who finishes first in the duel gets a clue to the hidden immunity idol, which they can give to anyone on any tribe.
Yep.
Candace wins.
And that strategy goes off the window. Yeah, strategy goes right out the window.
I'll ask you this right now. If you were on this series and you were with a loved one, would you, in Candace's position, give that clue to your loved one?
I would probably, you know, and this is just me being, you know, smarter than the room, that first night on night zero when we're by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
I'd make sure that we had some kind of signal to each other to say, hey, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, agreed. And all I could think was that if I was in this position, I would have been shaking my head at Candace with the eyeballs of like, no, don't give it to me. Because if anything, one thing we do know about clues to the idol is they make you a target.
Mm-hmm. If I had an ally on the tribe that quickly, if I was in an alliance,
mm-hmm.
I'd make a subtle gesture to one of my allies. You know, give it to them. They'll share the information with me, and I may even find it first. You know,
sure.
But
I almost have an inclination of pick someone on the opposite tribe that you think needs to go, like someone who's actually powerful. And now that you've given them more power, they might be a bigger target than ever. You know, people are trying to fly under the radar at this point in the game, and one thing that immunity idol clue does is it immediately forces you to be a player. Because yep. People will assume you have the idol, whether you do or not, so you might as well go and find it. The instant you go and try to search for it, everyone assumes you have it again. They'll start following you around. It really has many layers that have not been touched, much like most of the strategy of this season. Speaking of strategy, let's just go to the end of this and talk about the vote. Was there any shocker there?
No, it was, there was no surprise at all. It was pretty much telegraphed by the editors right in the first scene. You see anything remotely close to a relation between John and Rachel. You know, it was pretty much dead set from that point on. Even after the challenge, there was no legitimate alternative candidate presented. I mean, they kind of talked about redirecting votes Sierra's way or, you know, getting a couple of votes to John to see if he could flush the idol, but really nothing that would even remotely convince me that there was going to be any other result. I mean,
sure.
If they just kind of waffle on it a little bit in the lead up to Tribal Council, you know, there's going to be no change in the result. If there's going to be a blindside, if there's going to be a surprise vote out, there will be at least one person before Tribal Council saying in confessional, "Oh goody, we're getting rid of so and so." Like, they'll be giddy about pulling this big move.
Sure, and if anything, it did feel like maybe it was manipulated slightly via the edit. Whatever, yeah. That happens. I do personally wonder, though, if John handled things right as far as how he explained Rachel to the rest of his tribe, specifically the Men's Alliance. And there is value to saying, hey, I've got hooks in this girl. If we need information from them or we're worried about someone, she's not going to be the one to cross us or try to do an all-girls alliance. Yes, people are still going to think, well, wait, she's with you, then maybe we need to worry about her. But as long as you make it clear that the guys are your first priority, then you don't have much to worry about. But it never seemed like he even really sold that. It seemed like he was trying to keep his alliance with Rachel secret while also maintaining his alliance. It's like, that's where they get most worried. It's like, wait, why is it so secret, even though it's plain and simply obvious that you guys have some kind of a relationship going on, you have a reason to want to protect her, why won't you admit it?
I mean, it's a bit of a dilemma, because if you're only thinking in the short game, then there's absolutely no reason to make a case to save Rachel, because... You know, you can say what you want about, oh, I've got hooks in her, she's not going to, you know, betray us with another alliance, because she doesn't have the numbers to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, if you're going to pull a guy's alliance, you know, any vag will do, basically, as far as who gets voted out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thinking in the long game, then it makes a bit more sense, because while I'm sure it's on the minds of a couple of players, it hasn't been shown to us yet. There has never been a season of Survivor that starts out with some kind of wonky demographic twist that doesn't have a tribal switch somewhere before the merge. Every single time, whether it's a gender thing, an age thing, you know, I see no reason why it wouldn't be the same with a fan thing. You know, hell, even in the fans versus Saber seasons, if there's any kind of demographic twist to start out the season, there is always a tribal swap. In that case, it makes sense for John to stick up for her a little bit, but to say, hey, if we get separated by a tribal switch later on, I can keep her loyal to us and, you know, make sure we still take care of business and get back together at the merge.
Mm-hmm. And that's a better sell. But in this case, he waffled down the middle as opposed to either A, putting all his cards on the table and saying, hey, we can use her, let's not get rid of her, or B, just keeping his mouth absolutely shut and saying, uh-huh, sure, Rachel. It's one of those, really should have probably picked a side, especially the guys who tend to be more black and white when it comes to this game.
Let me ask you this. What did you think of the idle clue as it, by itself, not the way it was presented or the way it's given away? Like, what do you think of the clue itself?
Meh. Why? I mean, I'm personally pretty over the whole individual immunity idle thing and the clues. I mean, at this point, we've talked before on the podcast about, hey, why don't we actually make it a password, you know?
Something. Well, I liked it back in Nicaragua when they actually, like, had, like, a hieroglyph clue. Like, you actually had to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like, hey, we finally have clues to idols again. As soon as Prof said that was my reaction. At least we're going to have a clue this time. And the clue was, walk along the path and it's in the root of a tree. Literally, you can trip over the idol. I mean, I think they even referenced that in the clue itself. Come on, make them work for God's sake. As satisfying as the ending was to last season, one of the most frustrating parts was that Reynolds could basically just trip and find idols.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I don't care how charismatic he was. He was annoying. Because he didn't play the game, he just lucked into idols. It was like, I hate to keep bringing it back up, but at least Hans had a strategy to find them. He at least knew where to look. You know, I mean, what's going to happen next season? We're just going to start farting out idols? Come on.
Who cares? I said, I'm kind of over the whole hidden immunity idol presence. I think I'm ready for it to not be in play for a while. Maybe simplifying the game could be a twist.
That'd be nice, because the one thing that's kind of a plus for this season is the added dimensions to the metagame.
Yes.
I mean, the idea that the men voted out Rachel in hopes that Tyson would take her place on Redemption Island, thereby weakening his own tribe. That's a brilliant angle to consider. But at the same time, can we introduce some basics back into the game by just getting rid of idols and saying, hey, I want to vote this guy out. He didn't win immunity. We're voting him out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No more splitting votes or, you know, finding alternate targets. Just vote out the person you want to vote out. If they can't survive the vote, then they didn't play the game well enough. In 90% of cases.
Meh. That's what I have to say about this, because yes, we could be talking about the relationships and seeing how things react and people getting voted out because of their relationships to other people, or people getting voted out just due to their own ineptitude, but we're not really seeing that yet.
So, Colton.
Colton. He exists. He exists only to cause drama, and I think maybe the bigger question is not necessarily why is Colton here, but Caleb. How the hell did you decide that you wanted to be his fiancé and get married to him? As wrong as this is going to be to say, Caleb must be setting gay marriage back. Oh wait, can you do that?
Well, they are from Alabama, and the citizens of that state are certainly hoping so.
I mean, my lord. If anyone really thought that they were going to see a changed Colton Cumby, you were not paying attention. You did not pay attention his first time around, you didn't pay attention to this podcast. And, you know, at this point, put the question on the table. Do you want him to quit?
No, I don't.
Because what did we say last time? The medevac, which Probst has come out and said, well, he basically orchestrated his own ouster there, whether it was psychosomatic or just him being done. We all felt like him losing that way wasn't him getting the comeuppance that everyone thought he deserved. Well, now he's potentially just quitting and walking out the door again. Proves to you why he shouldn't have been given a second chance.
I'm interested as to why Probst would have said that. I mean, the medics were brought out, and the medics decided to pull him from the game. That's not you can't really orchestrate that unless you intentionally started looking at purple berries and thinking, ooh, yummy, that's my out, you know?
If you mentally or emotionally check out of this game, that's when you see people going into crying fits and having physical problems. You have to tell yourself that you're staying here. As soon as you say, I'm done and I'm quit, then your body's going to quit on you too. And if you underestimate that mental-physical connection, you get Colton. Or you get crying Lisa Welchel, but that's a whole other thing.
Thank you, Val.
Really. But, at some point here, we need to stop talking about Colton. I wish we could ban him from this podcast like we once did to Herpes 1 and Herpes 2. 10 points to anybody who remembers who they are. But Colton, now for what might be 3 episodes, maybe more, it's why was he here? I mean, again, Probst said he could have done the season without Colton. Then why didn't you?
I mean,
do I really want to go up and down the list of people in this cast that I'm looking at saying, why are they here? Did we really need them? I mean, it's kind of sad. I actually feel like Marissa might have been an interesting player apart from Jervis.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people here that I'm like, I kind of like, but in the context of this season, they're being used in weaker ways. Frankly, Laura, Rupert's wife. Mm-hmm. Laura actually seems like she could be a good player on her own, but she's been obviously affected very heavily early on. Now, will this be a positive effect or a negative effect as the game moves on? Who knows? But she's the first one who's going to have to contend this game as a solo player.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I'll say for Colton, I do understand his frustration at the fact that no one is playing the game right now.
Right, but sadly, this is what the games have become. This is what Big Brother's become. This is what Amazing Race has become. It's not about being the A game off the bat. You want to lay low. You want to kind of be quiet, just do your job, not be a target, but not be someone of interest. Make it halfway through the game that way, and then you can start to strategize and make your moves.
Well,
that's frustrating as hell, because we'd rather see someone play from day one all the way through day 39 and then truly take the title of sole survivor, but that just does not happen anymore.
Well, and that's because the show itself has kind of, you know, helped to orchestrate that a bit. Probably since Heroes Villains, when, and again, I hate to keep bringing up Russell, but at first he was lauded by being the greatest villain of all time. Then he was, you know, shamed for it. Ever since then, the show has kind of, you know, rigged the casting process to make sure that there's one hardcore gamer, and then a whole bunch of people who have no idea how the game is played, but they're too, and they're so goody two shoes that any game player is immediately a villain. And it's odd to me that this would manifest itself on the Returnees tribe. Mm. You know, people who have been on both the good and the bad side of the coin as far as strategy is concerned.
Yeah, but again, take a look at the people that you cast on the Returnees side. You cast a Tina, you cast a Kat, you cast a Monica, a Laura, a Jervis. These are people that, frankly, didn't have the hugest games in the first place. Mm-hmm. Weren't overtly strategizing. You don't have many master strategists here.
The closest we really have is Tyson, and he's backing off. Because
Aris did a good bit. I'll give him credit.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time that I feel Colton's frustration, at the same time, if you're a good game player, especially one as good as Colton claims that he is, you have to be able to, you know, to read the lines of the tribe here. You know, you got to have your finger on the pulse, and the finger on the pulse is we don't want to worry about that stuff until we've already lost an immunity challenge. You know, and sadly, what he can't see is that, as kumbaya as this tribe is, since he's the one guy going against the tide, he's an easy first vote.
Absolutely.
You know, they'll start strategizing and forming alliances after you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Eight people will agree to vote you out rather than splitting off four and four and having you as a swing vote.
So really, when it comes down to it, it's the part we've talked where you cannot come into Survivor with a set strategy. You can come in with multiple strategies of which you have to pick which one to play once you realize who you're playing with. But if you are playing with a bunch of people who want to be kumbaya and just so happy to be back on Survivor and live the experience, that doesn't mean you're playing the game off the bat. And thus, you have to put your game in the backseat. And recognizing that is the number one thing in determining who a good player is. Yes, we'd all love to see 20 great players put out there and all strategizing circles around each other, but it just doesn't work that way, and frankly, the world doesn't work that way. And if Survivor's supposed to be a microcosm in some ways of our social dynamics out here in the real world, well, a lot of these idiot people that Colton's bitching about, well, guess what? They live around him constantly in Alabama, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of shocked he doesn't already know that.
For the sake of argument, assuming he doesn't quit on Wednesday, what is his best chance to at least make the merge?
For the Returnees to win immunity over and over and over. Even though it would almost be fitting if they gave up an immunity challenge just to vote him out.
That would be hysterical. Again, I think there's going to be a tribal switch probably by episode 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, if he can just make it till then, hopefully he and Caleb will end up on the same tribe, and then he'll be, you know, inducted into the Culpepper Manly Men Alliance, and that'll pretty much set him up until the merge. Because the thing is, I want him to make the jury just so he can have a brilliant jury speech lambasting anybody on his tribe that makes the end for not playing the game.
Yeah.
Come on, you know you would want to see that.
At some point I would have, but you know what? If he's already throwing hissy fits and crying, no. I do not care at this point. So I'll ask you this, Mr. Hammond.
Yes.
Give me one good reason to believe that this series is about to turn up and that Survivor Blood vs. Water is going to be worth watching down the road.
I mean, there's no chance in hell that Tyson's going to take Rachel's place. It's just not happening. I guess The flip side of this whole dynamic of trying to, you know, bait people into taking their partner's place, it's going to light a righteous fire under the Galang tribe's butts here. Mm-hmm. It's like, in a weird way, the whole point of separating the tribes from the loved ones was so that the game would be the game and not get personal. And the loved ones, Tadhana, their tactics, voting Marissa out because of Jervis showboating, voting Rachel off to try to get Tyson to basically quit. It's like, they're inadvertently making the game that much more personal. And it's gonna, it really is going to be much more acrimonious as Galang continues to kick their butts.
We'll see. We will see about that. After all, that's our job. We sit here, we watch the reality TV, and we dissect it for you, our loving audience. So, until next time, and there will be a next time, sadly, especially if Colton quits, there will be a next time. I'm Eric Pearson, GameChamp Newsnet. That's Bill Hammond. And, Bill, this Reality Rant podcast is...
Stupid balancing challenges.